99.5 KKLA Los Angeles and on the web at KKLA.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Many of us find ourselves in relationships. I'm talking about intimacy. Many of us find ourselves in the covenant of marriage. My in-studio guest knows just a little bit about both. He's licensed both in the area of clinical psychology and marriage and family. His name is Dr. Mark Baker. He's executive director of La Vie Counseling Centers. Dr. Baker, Mark, if you will, thank you for joining us on the Frank Sontag Show here on KKLA.
Hey, Frank, really good to be with you. I'm really glad to be here. We'll talk a little bit about marriage today. I think that'd be a good thing.
What is the greatest challenge to marriage with those of us that are Christians in this time right now?
It's a stressful time. Actually, what's happening now at this particular time in history is that men and women are so stressed out about finances because we've gone through such a long drought that that's eroding and having an impact on marriage. But as with all things that we think we're fighting about in marriage, it's not really that. You know, we think it's money. I mean, that's the stressor. But it's really having the skills to be able to be connected to the person that you've vowed to spend your life with in the midst of all kinds of trouble. If it's financial trouble, that's just what's now. There's always going to be trouble. But being emotionally connected to your spouse, that's the challenge.
How do we reach that challenge? I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm all in. And I think if my wife is listening right now and she called in, she'll go, yeah, but what about night before last when it was all about you?
Yeah, you said you were all in. But well, here's a little interesting thing. I speak about marriage all over and in other countries, too. Actually, I'm going to Brazil in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be talking about it down there, too. And I ask this question of groups of people. I hand out 3x5 cards, and for everyone in the room, I say, for the women, write the word men at the top of your card and write the first three things that comes into your mind. And for men, write the word women at the top of the card and write the first three things that comes into your mind. And for people who are listening, I challenge you to do that right now. For the women, think of the word men, and what are the first three things that comes into your mind? Write them down. Write those first three things down. Men do the same thing for the word women. I find an interesting thing, and it happens everywhere I go, including in other cultures, that women are walking around in their heads about 40% of the time thinking something positive, about 40% of the time thinking something negative, and, you know, about 10-20% of the time they're kind of neutral, right? Men, the statistic's very interesting. They're walking around in their mind only about 22% of the time neutral, 70% positive, and around 8% negative.
Wow, what's that about?
Isn't that interesting? That men are walking around, you know, when I think of women, I think of my wife, I think of something positive. Well, she's beautiful. Men say things like nurture, love, beautiful, loving, gentle, desirable. And they'll only come up with words like difficult, attitude, money, and stubborn, rarely. And on the surface, you might think, well, wow, are women more angry than men? Are women angrier in general than men? And the answer is no. The answer is that women are upset because they know how they feel, and men have no idea how they feel. I ask men, how do you feel about your wife? And they say, he's fine. She's fine. How's your marriage? It's good. It's good. And then I ask the wife for the truth. You know, how does it really feel? What's really going on?
So we're just cut off from our feelings.
We don't know how we feel. Yeah. We don't know how we feel. So we don't weigh in with anything negative because we're just hoping she doesn't bring it up.
Yeah. Well, okay, let me piggyback on that. So if that's true, let's assume that's true, how much of that is this pressure that we feel in the year 2013, all of the gender insinuations about we're supposed to be provider, all these things that have stacked up on us, and yet we also live in a culture that talks about equality,
and
we've kind of lost what it means to be a man.
Well, it's very confusing. It's very confusing. And I have men coming in to my office not knowing really how they're supposed to be with women. I had one guy say, I was on a date recently, this guy in his 30s, and I was going to open the door for the woman to go into the restaurant, and she says, my arm's not broken. So he went on a date with a different woman the next week, and he got out of the car, and he wasn't stupid. He'd learned from last week, and he's just marching into the restaurant. She's still back in the car waiting for him to come and get her. Yeah. So it's very confusing for men to know, how am I supposed to be a man in relationship with women today? And quite frankly, psychologists have not helped, because a lot of what's been written over the last several decades has been confusing for men. They've been led astray, thinking they need to be more like women in order to be a proper man, and that's basically just wrong. They've been led astray.
As you comment about that, my mind also goes to, we are bombarded with information too in this day and age with technology and blue screens, and we're just hearing all of this data, and we can't compute it fast enough.
Right.
And that's got to be a contributing factor as well.
It's very confusing. Well, one of the leading psychologists in this area that we're talking about, the difference between men and women, is a guy by the name of Warren Farrell. Now, Warren Farrell was the only male psychologist on the board of directors for the National Organization of Women. You know this, NOW?
Yes.
Very, you know, liberal organization back in the 70s. And he wrote a book called The Liberated Man back in the 70s. And he was really all about, let's get men to be softer, gentler, kinder, to get them to be more like women. And that'll solve the problem, right? If we can just get men to be more like women. 10 years later, he wrote another book called Why Men Are the Way They Are, and he took it all back. He said, I was trying to get men to be more like women, and the only people who would come to my lectures are women, because men don't want to hear that. They want to know how to be a healthy version of themselves, not just to be more like women. And women need to be a healthy version of themselves, not just to be more like men. And so psychologists have kind of floundered around. And actually, Warren Farrell just wrote a book just recently called...
What's the next one?
Does Feminism Discriminate Against Men?
Wow.
You know, he's actually come full circle, thinking, we were wrong thinking that men need to be more like women. They just need to be healthy men. You have to figure out what it means to be a man who's grounded. I believe a man who's spiritually grounded in his relationship with God, and everything flows out of that. That they have healthy relationships with other men, not in competition with men, but bonded to other men. And that is going to help them be better lovers of the women in their lives.
The voice you're listening to is Dr. Mark Baker from LaVie Counseling Centers. We've got phones coming in already. We're going to open the phones in just a little while. I have a few more questions for Dr. Baker. On the other side, here's the twofold I have for you, Doc, and you can think about it on the break. Number one, how much of our childhood do we bring into our marriages, you know, seeking out maybe mom and dad on a deep level, and the notion of answers? We've talked a bit about the questions and the challenges, and so where do the answers lie, and how can we kind of get down to the core of that connection that you spoke out right at the very beginning? We will continue with Dr. Mark Baker here on the Frank Sontag Show on 99.5 KKLA, where, as always, we have a quick look at rapid traffic from the Azusa Pacific University Traffic Center.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage.
99.5 KKLA, this is the Frank Sontag Show. Dr. Mark Baker is here. We're talking right now, we're talking about marriage, dynamics, confusion, struggles, challenges, solutions. Dr. Baker, I mentioned you before the break. How much of the quandary or the challenge of marriage has to do with this notion of what we subconsciously bring in from childhood? I've heard so many times guys want to marry their moms, women want to marry dads. Mm-hmm. How much of that do you see relevant in your view?
I think it's extremely relevant, and here's why. Marriage takes us to the deepest parts of ourselves. It's not like any other relationship. I deal with this all the time. When a couple will come in, and one or the other of them will say, you know, I get along with everybody except for her. Or she'll say, I have tons of friends, and the only problem I have is with him. And my response is, well, of course, because you don't have a relationship like this anywhere else. This takes you to the deepest part of yourself. This person causes you to go to areas in your life that are unfinished business and digs those areas of unfinished business out for you to be perfected. And only this person can do that. God has selected the perfect person to make you more angry than anybody else on the planet.
Yeah, knows how to push your buttons like nobody else.
That's your spouse.
Yep.
He sent that person into your life to perfect you because you've got unfinished business that you're dragging around from your childhood, and this person's going to bring it up to the surface. And either you can face it and look at it or blame your spouse. Those are your two choices.
So how are we to address and bridge some of these challenges? What would you suggest maybe are some of the areas that we can become more acquainted with and work on and learn to communicate that with our partners?
Well, the first thing we need to accept is that conflict is essential. Now, I didn't say necessary evil. I said essential. It's essential to perfect us. We have what we call the cycle of conflict in marriage, where you start off committing yourself to someone. The relationship starts with commitment, and then it leads to trust. And if you trust someone, it's inevitable they're going to fail you, so then it leads to conflict. And then you have a choice. You can either recommit yourself, which is not bad, which takes you to the top of the cycle again. You can say, okay, bygones be bygones, I'm going to recommit myself, but you don't learn anything. You just recommit yourself, and you start the cycle all over again. Yeah. Or you get out, you say, you know, this is too hard. I'm going to find somebody who I don't have conflict with. And so you quit, or you go in, which means you learn something new about yourself. What is it that this conflict has caused me to learn about myself? Not about my spouse, but about myself. And if you learn that lesson, then you start the top of the cycle of commitment again, a different person. Because commitment changes us. You know, actually, people who live together have a higher divorce rate once they get married than people who don't live together, which sounds kind of surprising, doesn't it? You've already road tested it. Why is it that you get divorced at a greater rate? Because commitment changes you. Once you commit yourself to this other human being, you're no longer the same. And that we're designed by God to be that way. You know, that commitment changes us. And we begin the cycle then of trust and then conflict. And then either you learn your lesson or you don't. And the real key then is, how do we learn these lessons about ourselves? How do we turn the eye of scrutiny on ourselves, not on our spouse? And that is really difficult.
How do we begin to do that?
It takes humility. It takes humility, and it takes this. You need to be aware of what the emotional message is in the conversation. Every fight happening in marriage is not about what you think it is. What we say is the thing is not the thing. Whatever you're fighting about, the thing that you're fighting about is not the thing. The thing is you're with someone who doesn't feel connected to you. They feel disconnected from you, and that's what you're fighting about. That your spouse is feeling disconnected. They feel hurt because they disconnected, and they're fighting with you to get reconnected. And once you get that concept, then you get that we're not fighting about money. We're not fighting about the kids. We're not fighting about the in-laws. We're fighting because we don't feel connected. And she's letting me know, as I mentioned earlier, in no uncertain terms, she's aware of what this feels like to be disconnected. And I'm out here in the weeds trying to figure out, you know, how to respond to that as a man. And I need to get emotionally aware so I can resolve that emotional fight with my wife and get reconnected.
Dr. Mark Baker is here from LaVie Counseling Centers. We're going to take your phone calls in just a few moments. A couple more questions, though. Here's the two zingers for me, Dr. Baker.
Right.
We hear this notion of the right person, like I didn't marry the right person. And how much does the seed, which I call the poison pill of we hear happiness, like somehow marriage is about you're not making me happy, I'm miserable, so I'm out. And somehow happiness is supposed to be so important. We live in a secular culture where we hear a lot that that's like the core reason why you should be with somebody.
Right. Well, two things. One, I don't think you should look for the right person. I think you should become the right person. I think it's a better goal in life. And two, obviously, as a Christian, we prioritize joy over happiness. You know, happiness is circumstantial. Joy transcends that. So that's where I shoot for in my life. I am not interested in removing all the suffering from my life. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what I want to do. I want to learn to suffer well. And that's where joy comes from, is being a mature person in the midst of the difficult times. And the test of a really good marriage is not whether or not you can have good times together. It's, can you deal with the bad times together? That's the test of a good marriage. And what we have found is that in psychological research, people fall in love and they have 2 to 5 years of being in love and being really euphoric and happy. And we do pre-marriage counseling at the LaVie Counseling Center, but it's basically dealing with people who are drunk, you know, because they've got this euphoria going on.
Yeah.
Well, after 5 years, that fades off, and a good relationship will transition from euphoric love to contentment, to mature love. And that's where joy is. And our goal in life is really to figure out how to be joyful people in the midst of any circumstance. And that requires maturity and work and emotional awareness. I can't stress that enough for both men and women, but we need to have emotional awareness and realize that this fight is about that. We're feeling emotionally disconnected, and we got to do our business to get reconnected to solve the fight.
Dr. Mark Baker is here. We'll open the phone lines to you if you have anything specific that you would like to share with Dr. Baker. The numbers are 888-995-KKLA, 888-995-KKLA. On the other side, I'm going to ask you how we're doing in general terms of marriage, Dr. Baker. You know, we hear stories, you know, marriage statistics, and more people are not wanting to get married, and the barrage goes on and on about what we're supposed to be doing or how we're supposed to be in our marriages versus some very good, obviously relevant information that's God-given. He made this covenant. There's some really good stuff in this book in front of me here that talks about man and woman. I'm talking about the Holy Bible, obviously. So if you would like to pose a question to Dr. Baker, 888-995-KKLA, and we will continue with this, the Frank Sontag Show on 99.5 KKLA. KKLA, this is the Frank Sontag Show. Dr. Mark Baker is here in studio. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about the covenant of marriage and the many trials and tribulations that we find ourselves in. We are taking your phone calls as well at 888-995-KKLA. Aside from any questions that you may have for Dr. Baker, maybe one of the areas you are more than welcome to call in is on this idea that we talked about earlier with our struggles as being a woman in this day and age. What does that mean? Being a man in this day and age, obviously, as well as the notion of being a Christian man or woman. Let me, before we talk about maybe those of us that are in marriages and we're concerned about if we're in real trouble, we can talk about that on the other side. But could you address the covenant of marriage from a biblical Christian perspective and the importance of how God made men and women so different, and how it applies to this dynamic in marriage. And we struggle with that.
Right, we do. You know, I really believe in Genesis 1, where God talks about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made man in his image, male and female, he made him. He made us intentionally different so that we would have to have a relationship, just like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all divine and yet very, very different from each other. We are made in the image of God, and that image is brought, I think, to light the closest in marriage, because we're forced to have an intimate relationship with another being who is like me in that we're both human, but so unlike me because the gender difference is so different. I have to learn how to communicate and relate and be loving in a way that's so much different. When I hang out with my guy friends, it's so easy. It's real easy. We talk and it's easy. I've been on several motorcycle trips with guys. We can go for days and not even have a crossword between us. So easy. It's because we're the same, right? With my wife, we're constantly trying to work out communication because immediately we see things differently. And that, I think, is God's plan for us to learn how to make love the priority in our life. Not what I think, not even what I believe, but love is the greatest. It's the greatest force in the universe. And so marriage is really a way that God has brought the image of God to earth and forced us all to see it right there. So when marriage is done at its best, I think it shows us the image of God on earth. It's that important. And marriage is designed by God to do exactly that.
As a Christian man, I am called to love my wife like Christ loved the church,
right.
Loves the church. Sometimes, Dr. Baker, I'm not sure what that means. If I can be really honest, I mean, I love my wife immensely, and sometimes I just, the intention is there, the want is there,
right?
But I'm not quite sure what that means.
It is confusing, and the church has gone through a lot of battle to try to understand this. What does the word submission mean, you know, in that passage, Ephesians 5, right? We're trying to figure out what that means and how do we do that. And what does it mean to love your wife with that kind of commitment as Christ loved the church, willing to die for the church? That is hard for us to know. And I think we have to rely on God in order to have the ability to love with that depth and that capacity. It's still my goal. Whether I fall short of it or not, it is still my goal, and it's still the right goal to have. And I know that people who are outside the church can criticize us for not being as loving as we say we're going to be. And that's okay. I'd rather have the goal and fall short of it than not have the goal at all. And so I think that is our challenge for us as men, is to learn how to be loving. And in a way that men and only men can love. And men actually need other men in order to love their wives to the depth that they need it. I need other men in my life affirming me and affirming my masculinity so that I can take that confidence back with me into my marriage and love her as God wants me to love her, with the kind of sacrificial love that I'm willing to die for. So it's not an easy task, but I think it's a doable task if we rely on God for it.
Mark and Cerritos, you're on the air here on KKLA with my guest, Dr. Mark Baker. And Mark, thank you for calling the program.
You're welcome, man. Thank you, Dr. Baker, for being there. And Frank, thank you. Your program has been like a comfort, my double portion of dirty bread on the way home. I really appreciate it. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
And a question for Dr. Baker. I am not married.
Okay.
And I want to get Dr. Baker's, how would Dr. Baker respond if a lady that he was dating told him, like I was told, that you don't have the possessions. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
We're listening.
We got you.
Thank you. You don't have the appropriate material wealth, other words, a house or a car,
right,
in order for this relationship to progress. In other words,
right.
The relationship was no more. And I was very disappointed.
Right.
And I received some counseling because I was, again, very disappointed. I wanted Dr. Baker's response on how.
That speaks to a lot of us, because we're called to be the providers, yet we have that culture that says, you know, what are you worth? What can you give me?
Bring me. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, Mark. And a lot of men are in that same situation. Here's the deal. I don't know this woman that you're speaking about, so I can't speak for her. I do know this, that a woman is looking for security. She needs to know that you're going to be a man enough to make her feel safe. And one of the major reasons that women file for divorce is they say they don't feel safe. That's what they say. So now for a different woman, that's going to mean different things. So maybe she's looking at your life and she doesn't know how to say, look, I just don't feel safe with you. So she says, well, it's because you don't have a car, you don't have money. And maybe she's saying that, remember, the thing's not the thing. But what she is saying, I don't feel safe here. I'm not sure that you're going to be able to be a partner with me in a way that's going to make me feel safe. Now, sometimes we measure that by possessions. I do think if you want to ask a woman to marry you, you need to have a job. You know, you need to be able to say, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be all in, and I'm going to do what I feel like my calling is here to provide in the way that I have gifts to do. And keep in mind that this woman is looking for a sense of security and safety for you that you may be not on your radar. So that's what I would say, is you need to take a look at that in your life. Did I make this woman feel safe? And I think she's telling you no, she didn't.
Mark, thank you for the phone call. 888-995-KKLA, 888-995-5552. If you have any questions or comments from my guest, Dr. Mark Baker from the V Counseling Centers. How do we know if our marriage is in trouble?
Right. That's a great question. We've figured out some things just in the last few years that help us know when marriages are really distressed. Matter of fact, there's a researcher by the name of John Gottman who says that he can predict if a marriage is going to get a divorce with a 91% accuracy rate within 5 minutes of meeting the couple. He says the signs are that clear.
Wow.
there are certain things that are that clear that he can know in 5 minutes whether or not you're going to get a divorce. You want to know what those things are?
I do. You're looking at me.
I thought some people might want to know.
Yeah.
He says there's the first thing that comes up is what he calls the harsh startup. It's when the conversation starts with, well, you did it again. Mm-hmm. There's no assumption of goodwill. It's starting off harshly. And this is women more than men who start the conversation, because I said earlier, women know they're upset more than men know. So they're usually the ones starting the conversation, and they start it harshly. The other thing is criticism. That a relationship that's characterized by criticism, and if it goes on too long, it leads to contempt. I've actually worked with couples who actually have contempt for each other, and that is a big sign that divorce is headed. Constant defensiveness and stonewalling. And stonewalling is when one of the people in the marriage is trying to have a conversation and the other person just isn't saying anything. They're just standing there, maybe with his arms crossed, because, as you can guess, most of the time it's men who do that. And this is the biggest problem in marriage that we see, as women who are angry and harshly coming at the man, and men who are stonewalling and not telling the woman where they're at and how they feel. And that leads to gridlock. And if you've got that going on in your marriage, you're in trouble, and you're probably going to need professional help to get you out of that. And we can get people out of that. And then the key thing at the end is people who fail to make repairs. Once they get off the path, and like I said earlier, everybody fights, can get back on the path and repair the damage. And that's if you can't do that, then you've got some critical signs that things are really bad.
Bill, in the San Fernando Valley, you're on the Frank Sontag Show with my guest, Dr. Mark Baker, here on KKLA. Thank you for calling, Bill.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm probably one of those different guys from what you were talking earlier. If you were to ask my wife how the relationship's going, she would say good. And if you asked me, I would say not so good.
Okay.
We have a problem with communication. She doesn't like to talk about anything. We've been married about 11 years, and we've had numerous problems that have come up. We currently have a 18-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son, and just different things have come up, personal lives between the two of us and with the kids. And how do I deal with that when she doesn't want to talk about what? And try to work it out.
It's very important, Bill, and I'm glad you're a guy who wants to talk. What do you say? How do you bring it up to her? What's a typical thing that you say to her?
I just start talking to her, and she just doesn't want to talk.
Well, what? You'll say, let's talk about the kids, or what will you
bring? Exactly.
That kind of
thing? One specific thing is, my daughter's 18 and thinks she should be able to drink and everything else, and my wife gets mad because I sit there and say, well, she's 18. She shouldn't be drinking. She's in a lot of trouble, blah, blah, blah. And my wife's like, well, you're always trying to control them. And so my wife and I see raising the kids differently.
Right.
And we try to bring it up talk to her about it.
Yeah, dealing with parenting issues is a big issue in marriage. It's one of the things people fight about most. But here's the deal. I think, Bill, I'm going to go out on a limb here and think that it may be the way you're talking to your wife is the issue, not what you want to talk about, but the way you're talking about it. Like the issue with drinking in your 18-year-old. Well, okay, you've got a pretty good argument there that she shouldn't be drinking, right? So your wife's already painted into a corner, and you're not trying to draw out what she feels about her relationship with you. She feels you're right, she's wrong, and so she's going to get defensive and shut down. Now, it is true that some women don't talk about their feelings. It's not that she doesn't have them, but she's not talking about them. And your job is not just to solve the issue with your 18-year-old. You do need to solve that. I mean, she needs to not be drinking. But you also need to feel connected to your wife doing it. You need to know, does she feel connected to you? Does she feel understood? It's much more important for you to understand her than it is for her to understand you when you're doing the communicating. So you got to keep that in mind. Do I get how she feels? Is she shutting down because she's feeling something and I don't know what it is, and I know the right thing to do in this conversation? Well, then you may be running over her and not realizing she's got all these feelings that she's not talking about.
We will continue with your phone calls. for Dr. Mark Baker from LaVie Counseling Centers. 888-995-KKLA, 888-995-5552. Dr. Baker, on the other side, as you were counseling Bill, the thought came to mind, and I want to pose it in a question on the other side. If we find a good counseling center like LaVie, and we do our time together, and we learn how to communicate, and we move through, push through, that's one thing. And you even made reference last segment about we've had a lot of counseling that isn't too good, let's just say. So here's the question to think about for the other side. How do we learn to take that information to the house when our counselor is not there? Because sometimes it gets really confusing again as to, well, no, the doctor said you're supposed to do this, you're not doing that, and then the next thing you know, you wish the doctor was in the front room with you.
Right, right, right. Good question.
All right. We will continue. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Dr. Mark Baker is here on 99.5 KKLA, where we have time for a rapid traffic update from the Azusa Pacific University Traffic Center. .5 KKLA, this is the Frank Sontag Show. Dr. Mark Baker from LaVie Counseling Centers is here in studio. By the way, for those of you that think you might be in a bit of trouble marriage-wise, Dr. Baker has a special KKLA helpline number I will give out at the end of this interview. So you might want to have something to write with and write down. Let's talk to Solomon real quick. Solomon is in Montebello. You're on the air on KKLA with Dr. Mark Baker. Hi, Solomon.
Hey, Solomon.
Hello, guys. Question. I heard earlier talking about how women need to feel secure and they want security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this mean, because I know a lot of women today in America, they demand that their husband provides them with the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
That security mean equals American dream, or does it equal just the basic necessities of life?
Right. Good question. Now, we're not in pursuit of the American dream. That's America's dream. That's not God's dream for you. But women do need to feel secure. And you have to figure out what that is for that woman in your life. You know, I mentioned I'm going to go to Brazil in a few weeks, and I talk with a lot of believers down there. And I know marriages that are completely, totally happy marriages, and they live in huts with dirt floors. They do not have the American dream, and I think in some ways it's easier for them to be happy because they're not seduced by that myth of materialism. So, no, it is not about amassing wealth. Wealth is just a tool. It's not good or bad. But is it being used to glorify God, really? That's the key. That's a whole other subject. But to answer your question, no, you are not supposed to produce the American dream. What you're supposed to produce is security for the woman in your life, and you need to work that out with that woman as to what that means. Because she'll tell you. She'll tell you if she feels secure or not. Does she feel safe with you? Does she feel protected? And you guys can work out together what that standard of living is. And I can tell you this, it's not wealth that brings security. It is not wealth. I deal with people in my office who there's many of them, have a lot of wealth, and yet they've got all the same issues that everybody else does. That does not solve all the problems.
Dr. Baker, for those of us that do seek out help and we get an idea of, okay, this is where our marriage is struggling or we're lacking here, and okay, I, as a man, I've got my list of work and maybe my wife has hers. How do we bring that home?
Right.
When conflict kicks up and it's almost like we forget everything.
Right. Well, two key things. One, I've already said, realize the thing is not the thing. So whatever you're fighting about is really emotional. It's not the content of the conversation. It's how you're making each other feel. Remember that. So this, if we're having a fight, it's emotional. Figure out what those emotions are and try to address them. Anger is secondary. There's always something underneath anger. So when somebody says they're angry, that's good, that's a start, but you're probably hurt, scared, or feeling insecure, and there's a frustration under there. And if you can get to that level, you're going to have a more productive conversation. Don't stay at the level of anger. And then two, in most marriages, there's a dynamic called pursuer and distancer. One of you is the pursuer, and one of you is the distancer. one of you critically approaches the other person with anxiety and the other one withdraws. And people fall into those roles. Figure out which is yours. If you're the one who's the pursuer, you're probably too critical. You're the one who does the harsh startup. If you're the one who's the withdrawer, then you're the one who's not saying how you feel. You need to dig deeper and get emotionally engaged with the other person. And you have to figure out what your job is, not the other person's job. You can't fix the other person. You can only fix yourself. So you need to work on your part in the marriage.
When I say the next word, how important, obviously, is it in marriage, and how do we strive to retain it or increase it? The word would be trust.
Right.
That's a big one.
It is a trust. Because that's, as I said earlier, is what leads to fighting when trust has been violated. By being committed, I inherently start to trust you. We commit each other, then we trust. And then that gets lost. And it will get lost. In every marriage, there's some failing that your partner has done. That's not the sign that it's the wrong marriage. It means you need to do your work to improve your character, work on what you need to learn about yourself so that your spouse can see you doing that, and that's what they put their trust in. Not that you won't hurt me again, but I'm with someone who's going to work on himself when he does.
Why did Dr. Mark Baker decide of all things in his life to pursue this?
There's a very long story for that, but the main one is I watched my grandfather, who had an eighth grade education, and the only book he ever read was the Bible, counsel countless people in the little town that I grew up in, and I was so moved by that I grew up only wanting to do one thing, is to help other people like I saw my grandfather do it, and to do it from a Christian perspective. And I've been doing that now since, 1980, so a long time.
And that was the main impetus, huh?
That's the guy who got me started.
Wow. Dr. Mark Baker is the main guy at LaVie Counseling Centers. The KKLA helpline, if you would like to reach out to Dr. Baker, 800-801-5242. Again, this is a special helpline set up for KKLA listeners by Dr. Mark. 800-801-5242. Well, I will tell you this, Dr. Baker, for first time of being in the studio here on my program, we are greatly blessed to have you here talking about still such an issue that is challenging, rewarding, conflict-ridden, euphoric, bottom line, covenant set up by him, who I think knows just a little bit more about this notion of marriage than the whims of modern culture. You're laughing.
Amen. You got that right.
Thanks for coming on the Frank Sontag Show.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Mark Baker from LaVie Counseling Centers has been my guest. Again, the KKLA Helpline.